1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here today at the Ark all the way in Dahlonega, Georgia.
It's been a little while since we've been here, and it's a gorgeous day outside.
I think it was Friendsgiving last time we were here, right?
It sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I was on. I had the big, huge potato.
Oh, yeah, you won the potato. Yeah. What did you do with the potato?
I turned it into souffle.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You ate? Was it good?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
If I recall correctly, I think that you were supposed to bring it, what you cooked.
Well, the souffle's all gone now.
That would be very old souffle.
It would, yeah.
It would be five-month-old souffle.
Yeah.
You put it in the freezer.
And while I'm not 100% sure what a souffle is, I am 100% sure that I wouldn't want to eat it a year after.
A year after, yeah. That would be
five months later, kind of gross.
Yeah.
All right, but we have a great episode today. We're going to be talking about discerning God's will, what God wants, vocation, all this good stuff. We got a veteran in the house, obviously, potato winner, Jake. And then we got Jesse, who's never been on the show before. Had to hike up a mountain to get here, literally, today.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful day, though.
Huffing and puffing up the other side as I slung rocks from the back of my truck in your face, and I apologize for that. Now that apology is immortalized forever. I'll tell you in a minute. As always, got producer Julian, tickling keys, taking names.
Pushing buttons.
Doing awesome.
Yeah.
And then show notes Benny hanging out today, maybe, maybe not. You never know.
Poor guy,
never on camera.
I know.
If he exists.
But you know what he did do, and he did a great job. He went on the pledge drive a few months ago, and I listened to it. He did awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
so maybe we'll get him on, and he'll have to wear a mask or something.
I like that idea.
You like it?
We did the pledge drive. That was fun.
We did. I think we raised the most money, if not.
Wait, is it true?
Well, it should be true.
Yeah. We're going with that. We 100% raised the most money that's ever been raised in any pledge drive of any variety.
That's right.
Ever.
Yeah.
When we did the pledge drive.
And if you did not get a chance to donate but still want to, we will link it down in the show notes, a way for you to donate, and you can also listen to that show. It was a lot of fun.
We'll put my Venmo in the show notes too.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the Feed Your Starving Children fund that you started? Yeah. I started one as well.
My fun fact about me is I don't have a Venmo. My wife has a Venmo. So every time I have to Venmo anybody, I have to text my wife, please Venmo this person. It's really convoluted. I should just know what her Venmo is, but I don't know.
That's okay.
All right. But before we do anything, we do need to pray. So, Jesse, you cool? You're like a professional prayer. It's what you do for a living.
For sure. I got it. All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill this room. Please give us the words to say. Please help our listeners and all those who hear this to be receptive to your word. Mama Mary, we ask for your intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
So no grade prayers anymore.
Nope, you're not allowed to grade prayers.
I've been told that I can't grade prayers because that's offensive to people.
I don't like grading, though.
No, I can't. I'm told I'm not doing, but were I to grade that prayer, 89.4.
Wow.
Yeah, and here's why.
Not a grade, just
I didn't grade. I'm just saying, were I to, which I didn't, that's what it would be.
Yeah,
solid prayer, short and sweet, to the point, invocation of the Holy Spirit. But then, as a rule, I always dock points anytime somebody finishes with a rote prayer. Because I know what you're doing, because I do that. I'm always like, and I feel like it's not done yet. I don't know how to put a bow on this. So, Hail Mary, full of grace, which is great. I mean, that's beautiful and good. But that's, for whatever reason, the scheme of my prayer grading.
Still rounded up to a 90.
No, 89.4.
That's pretty good.
Round down to an 89.
B+. Yeah, that's pretty good still.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
If I were your teacher, I'd probably just bump it up. Yeah, where are your teacher?
For me, if you add the name of a saint, like Saint something or other, pray for us, I would give extra points for that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I
love that. Especially if I don't know the saint, if some obscure saint, like maybe it doesn't even exist. Maybe you're just like Saint
Jacqueline Zifflier.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, oh yeah, good. Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad that you invoked that saint.
That was my French teacher's name.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because then you make everybody else feel like they need to go on your level, which I like. All right, well, we're going to jump in do all things vocation here in a minute. But before we do that, I don't know if they briefed you on this. You owe us fun facts. You just owe us one, Jake, because you've been on the show before. Uh-huh. But you owe us two, Jesse. You got to give us two fun facts. It can be about you. It can be about nothing. I mean, just animal fact or something. But you owe us two fun facts before we can get the ball rolling.
Okay. All right. My two fun facts. First fun fact, I'm the oldest of nine kids.
Awesome.
So, yeah, five little sisters, three little brothers. Second fun fact, I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska.
That's a very fun fact.
That's a very fun fact.
Super cool fact.
I like to flex it whenever I can, so.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it is funny how there's some things that just, like, automatically make you more interesting in regards to where you grew up.
Yeah, if I said I grew up in Georgia, you could say, I grew up in Alaska.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
Yeah.
But it's super cold, but I can take it.
But there's, like, three states, maybe, that I would be like, that's super interesting, right? Alaska, obviously. Hawaii, obviously. I'm trying to think of another example. There's some of those, like,
Maine.
Not really Maine. I don't know. I mean, Maine's
fine. But what if you, like, grew up in a lighthouse in Maine?
Oh, well, so like,
then you would never say you grew up in Maine. You'd always say you grew up in a lighthouse in Maine.
Yeah.
Like, Wyoming would be cool. Montana, some of those. I've watched some Yellowstone before.
So, Jesse, for the purpose of all of our listeners, you grew up in Alaska. Was that because you were military or no?
No, not military. Dad was a diesel mechanic. So his work was like, yo, we'll pay for it. And he's like, oh, yeah. So that's really my mom's oldest sister moved there, and my mom was very close with her, so we just kind of followed them up there.
You said you're one of nine?
Yeah.
What's the, you said the boy-girl breakdown, five boys, four sisters? Or the other
five
way around?
Five girls, okay. Four boys.
So how many girls were in a row? What's the most girls in a row?
All five.
Okay.
It was me, my brother, five sisters. Other brother.
Boom. Okay, because I was telling you this off air, right? I had a son, and then a daughter, and then a daughter, and then a daughter, and then a daughter. My wife's pregnant right now. And, I'll be super happy. If it's a girl and healthy, great. Praise be to God, right? But I'd be lying if I told you that I wasn't kind of hoping. We got an ultrasound video, like not the, like the 12-week ultrasound, not the 20-week anatomy scan. And I was searching. I was like, it's definitely going to be a boy. I'm going to find proof right now. And I kept being like, no, that's a leg. I was like, okay, what about, nope, still, that's the exact same leg. Okay, but what about, that's another leg.
Well, like, all fetuses start out as female.
That's not true. You just can't tell. They're indiscernible, right?
No, like, they do.
They don't. It's not Jurassic Park. They don't all start out as female.
No, they do.
They don't. I have X chromosome sperm and Y chromosome sperm. And the Y makes it the baby's a boy.
I saw it in Grey's Anatomy.
I think that's why we all have nipples, actually.
I understand that there's a lot of stuff in it. You know, this is what we're talking about for the rest of the show. They've said that the genitals just started to develop, right? And so I couldn't tell no matter what anyway right now.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
With my oldest, with my first, when we did our first anatomy scan for him, they said, do you want to know if it's a boy or a girl? But because of the angle, my totally untrained eye was like, boy, totally a boy. The way, and they're like, yeah, that's really cool. And that ruined it. So now we find out for every single one. And we're going to do a gender reveal, the baseball thing for my son, but only if it's a boy. So we're going to find, because if it's, like me and Angie, me and my wife are going to find out. And then we're going to get a, if it's a boy, we're going to get a blue baseball, you know, the one that you hit it and it burst into blue, because I feel like it would be really sad to have immortalized him, like, throwing the bat down and being frustrated because it was girl number five, sister number five. But I have been told that these ladies, all my beautiful daughters, will stick around and take care of me when I'm an old man.
If I had to do a gender reveal party, I would do, like, gender reveal napalm.
Well, they do that. They might try to sell us on the Tannerite. What's that?
They're getting insane. Like, there's some crazy
didn't one start a massive
parties.
Like wildfire in California a couple
years
ago?
Yeah.
I mean,
but this is gonna be in Anchorage, Alaska when I do my genitals.
Awesome. No, I dig it. I'm excited. We're gonna be finding out at the anatomy scan because I'm too cheap to spend the $150 to find out early. You can do the blood test now and find out right away, but we're gonna wait a little while. All right, sorry, Jake. What you got? At least one fun fact.
Does it have to be a fun fact about me or anything?
You can be, man.
Okay, I got a fun fact about human DNA, is that human DNA is actually closely resembles fungus more than it does primates, like chimpanzees.
Really?
Yep.
Is there like a theory on that, like why that is?
No clue.
Did you learn that on Grey's Anatomy too?
No. I learned it on Wikipedia. Fun trivia facts.
That's even worse.
That seems super
so
wrong.
If there's like fact checkers on YouTube, I didn't get it. Wikipedia got it. So if like a Redditor or something went on Wikipedia and changed it, it's not me. It's him.
I heard that we share 45% of our DNA is identical to that of a banana, which is neat. Mm-hmm. But once again, I probably saw that on Wikipedia.
Probably because we're like a lot of potassium, and bananas are also a lot of potassium.
Yeah, maybe so. I have no idea. I have no idea about the structure of human DNA. And as much as I would love to keep digging into the structure of DNA and how it makes us who we're supposed to be, I want to talk about who God calls us to be.
Nice transition.
That was so smooth.
Proud of that segue right there. So I guess I'll kick it off by just saying, and I'm going to say this as accusatory as I possibly can, who are you people to tell us about this? Why the heck are you in any way qualified to discuss discernment and vocation and stuff like that with us here? You both are single guys, right? Neither of you are married. I don't know. Who the heck are you? Why do you think you can tell us anything about anything? I'll start with Jesse.
Yeah, so I was in seminary last year. So I did my purple duty gear, very first year
of
seminary.
With the diocese?
A diocese of La Crosse, yes.
In Wisconsin. Oh, cool, okay.
Yeah. I did a whole year, basically, before it became the probate duty care mandatory. It was called the Year of Discernment, and okay. Our diocese has been doing it for a while. So we just kept the same formula, but now made it, like, mandatory in a full year instead of just a school year. So I learned how to properly discern God's call, and through that, I learned how to discern, I'm going to be a missionary. And then I also discerned, I'm doing a second year on mission with the outreach team. And just lots of putting what I learned into practice.
Okay, so that was like a really good answer to my cynical jerk question. I bet your answer isn't as good, Jake. Why the heck are you here? Who are you to tell all of our dear listeners how they should discern God's will?
Well, the thing is, I'm a young guy. I'm only 18. How old are you, Jesse?
22.
You're 22. He's pretty much got most of his life figured out. He knows what he's doing as like a job and stuff.
If there's one thing you definitely have figured out at 22, it's your life. Yeah, 100%.
What I'm saying is he knows more than I do.
Yeah, okay.
But like, I think everyone near my age, I think bare minimum starting my age is like maybe 15 is when you try to start really figuring out like who you actually are.
Sure.
Because I think when you're a teenager, that's when you really start to go through phases of like who I am. Like, do I want to be a punk? Do I want to be like, I don't know, tree lover? I'm just giving examples at this point.
I like that the two options so far are punk and tree lover.
Punk, tree lover. But we have phases.
Do I want to grow a mohawk? Do I want to change myself to a redwood?
Do I want
to
get a mullet?
Yeah. That's not the point. That's not the point, right? where was I? I'm sorry.
Tree lover. No, you're talking about your age.
I'm at a phase in my life where I've definitely considered going to college. I'm going to college soon. I know what I'm doing there, so I have at least that part of my future figured out.
Sure.
I figured out what kind of career I'm going to. I want to be a forensic scientist / detective when I grow up.
Heck yeah, that's
cool. That's what I'm doing. But as far as God goes, what does he want from me? And I think that's a real big question for a lot of young Catholics around my age, because, like, if you read about the saints, like St. Francis of Assisi, he didn't become a monk till like 30, 35.
Sure.
Before that, he was a knight. He was an aristocrat. Mm-hmm. He went out and partied all the time. Granted, he wasn't a Catholic back then. But, like, he still, like, had this life that he was doing pretty good in. He was a knight. He made a decent living. But then it was when he went into that little chapel and God called to him. We don't know if it's later in our life or early in our life. We just got to keep listening, you know?
That was really good. He really sold your spot here really, really well, right? Because once again, this is AM Catholic Radio, clearly a huge deal, right? So, yeah, dude, I'm super glad you're here, Jake. It's going to be awesome. Fun fact, I've been to Assisi, and I've been to this little bitty chapel that he built, and it's currently in the middle of a gigantic, so there's this huge church, this giant basilica or whatever it is, built around this little wooden pustinia, was that what it is? That the word for it?
I think so. I don't know.
In the middle of it, super, super cool. I mean, to your point, Vlad the Impaler didn't even start impaling people until his late 30s.
Yeah, he didn't know what he was doing until then.
He figured it out. No, I stand by that statement. I really like Vlad the Impaler. You're welcome, Central Europe.
Like, in what kind of way? Like, you admire the history, or so, like...
So, you know, Vlad the Impaler, who, I mean, he impaled a lot of people. But he's
obviously.
He's the archetype for Dracula, right? Count Dracula, right? And I understand why people think clearly an evil guy. Is he the kind of guy you want to babysit your kids? Probably not. But it is thanks to Vlad the Impaler, in a big way, that Central Europe is not currently speaking Turkish. He fought against the Islamists as they moved up through there. I mean, sort of the big scary story of Vlad the Impaler that you hear all the time that sort of got him this reputation is there's this Muslim army, the Saracen army, that is marching through Romania. And homeboy went out and had all the trees sheared, right, and impaled the bodies of captured Turkish soldiers on the trees. And I won't get into what that looks like because it's 4 p.m. on a Saturday.
I don't think you've sold me on Vlad yet.
I'm not done. So this big imperial or this big Turkish army is marching through to subjugate more of Central Europe for the Ottoman Empire, right? And they get like a quarter of the way into this forest, and there's all these guys dying on trees who are their former, like, jihadist soldiers, and the general's like, yeah, maybe we should just dip. You guys want to just go home? They're like, yeah, we should just go home. And they left, and they totally would have wiped out Vlad the Impaler. He did a lot of great stuff for the sake of, Christendom, right? For the sake of preventing the Saracen onslaught. Everybody should read the book, Defenders of the West. We'll put it in the show notes. Fantastic book. Great for any boy above the age of puberty, right, all the way to, you know, 110. Like, read this book. It's fantastic.
If you really want to hear some good stories about Catholicism and defending Catholicism against, like, well, this is really, like, later, like, after 1492 and stuff.
Sure.
Like, when the Spaniards came to Americas.
Yeah,
it's Following Christ in the Americas.
It's called Following Christ in the Americas?
Yep.
Heck yeah.
It's a really big book. It's got all these stories. It's, oh my goodness. Like, it's got a lot of these stories. It even told
is
one story.
Is it cool?
Absolutely.
Like, that's an important question to ask.
Like
cool?
There's one story I was actually fixing to say. There's a story where these Spaniard soldiers got cornered by the Aztecs in South America.
Sure.
And they were all cavalry, they were all on horses, but they were still way outnumbered, and they were definitely going to lose. But they say that Mary appeared above them with a sword and a horse.
Awesome.
And mowed down all of the Aztecs with them.
Go team.
Yeah, go team.
Awesome.
Yeah, Mary and devotion.
Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Conquest of Darkness is another really good book that gets into all of that. All right, so we're talking right now a little bit of a rabbit hole, right, about following Christ in the Americas. So in that same vein, let's talk about following Christ in the Americas in our lives right now. Boom shakalaka. Sorry, another really good segue.
Two for two today.
Thanks, man.
If you ever get sponsors, you should, like, convert that segue energy into, like, a sponsor. Like, oh, speaking of receiving the Eucharist, get Joseph's Wafers online now.
Yeah, I did not get a PhD from the Harvard School for Segways for nothing. So very excited when I get to put that into practice. So let's dig in kind of big picture. I want to start with Jesse, too, because it seems like you've kind of gone through this roller coaster ride since high school. And, I mean, maybe we can do a little bit of just kind of advice for Jake over here, who seems like he's got a pretty good direction in life, but seems to think that you've got it all together at 22 years of age. Can you just sort of talk about your own, and not necessarily even just a vocation, but sort of a discernment of God's will in your life, how that's worked?
Yeah, so hearing God's voice still is kind of a struggle almost at certain times, like today. But in high school, I felt a calling, and I didn't really know what God's voice sounded like. I wasn't really sure. I'm like, this could be anything. But I felt a calling to go to seminary.
Were you public, private, homeschooled? What were you?
I went to a private Catholic school.
Okay. Awesome.
I was homeschooled up until 8th grade, and I went to Catholic high school. And I was like, okay, I feel this calling, but I really, really, really want to have kids. Mm-hmm. Being the oldest of 9 kids, obviously, I'm like, I want to do that.
Dude, kids are the best.
Oh, they're so cool. They're so fun.
Jake, please don't whoop because
you're
on the show. Okay.
Anyways, yeah, so I always wanted to be a dad, and I'm like, yeah, seminary, okay, but I want to be a dad. So I ignored that calling I heard. from high school, and then I just felt, I joined the workforce, started working, moved up in my job, and I'm like, see, I can't leave now. I'm super high up, so. Right. But, yeah, talk about roller coaster of emotions, just, like, knowing what God wanted for me, because then I realized, like, oh, that was God's voice, but I'm still
Where did that realization come from?
Yeah, so it was just, like, deep prayer and deep, like, honestly, I couldn't tell you the exact moment where I'm like, that's God's voice. I think it just, I realized it in the way that my emotions were. Like, I was just, like, hanging out with the wrong groups, you know, just, like, feeling, like, super depressed, anxious all the time. And I'm like, why do I feel like I have a good, steady job, I have a nice car, I'm doing good, and why do I feel it? And I think that was what made me realize God wants me to do this, and I'm not doing that. And I think that's what made me really realize that that was God's voice.
How much of that do you attribute to prayer?
Yeah, so to prayer, honestly, not a lot, because though I had my roots, cradle Catholic, once I hit high school, I kind of, like, I still believed it, but I didn't really, like, really, really firmly believe it.
Sure.
Like, I just knew, like, oh, kid stuff. Like, yeah, Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. And when I got older, I'm like, how does Jesus love each one of us individually?
So how did you get from that to going to seminary? It's crazy. I don't understand.
It's crazy. Honestly, a lot of it has to do with my aunt passing away, my Aunt Teresa. She always would talk about, like, Jesse, like, I think you'd make such a good priest. I think you'd be a good seminarian.
Ladies, tell guys you think they'd make great priests. Do seriously. It means more to...
It scares the crap out of us, but it will be good.
Hey, but you know what? That's also a great way to turn down a guy if he asks you for a number.
True.
It's like, hey, would you like to go out sometime? I saw you here a few times. Well, I don't know, but, like, I think you would make a great priest.
Would you like to go out sometime? Actually, I feel like you should take a vow of celibacy and hope death. It's like, oh, great. We are not going to officially endorse that message of turning the guy down, but I feel like you're not wrong.
You guys turn...
Well, I'm obviously thinking from experience.
See, I'm going to seminary next year, so sorry. No, but anyways, yeah, my aunt was just super close. She gave me a lot of older sibling advice, because there's obviously just... struggles and graces that come with that as well. So she always gave me so much advice, and she's like, I just think you'd make such a great seminarian, a great priest one day. So after she passed away, I'm like, okay. So literally between, like, it was like 2 weeks, I think, between the year starting and her passing away, I filled out all the paperwork, did all the background checks, and was like, here you go.
Oh,
and
wow.
Moved in, like, less than 2 weeks after she passed away to the seminary.
And you said you were there for a year or 2 years?
For a year.
Okay.
But it was a full, like, not just school year, like, August till, like, mid-July.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I just, holy cow, I learned so much discernment there. And yeah, it was at Seek in January, Seek 24, where we were in adoration, and the priest was walking around the stadium with the monstrance. He came right in front of me, and I was like, okay. It took me from August to January to finally be like, okay, I'm okay giving up. Like, here's my future wife.
Oh, wow.
Here's my future kids. I'm ready to give the next 8 years to become a priest for you. And it was like Abraham sacrificing Isaac. He's like, all right, you're good. You're good. And I'm like, I was pissed.
I finally got here. And I'm
like, are you kidding me? It took this much. It took all of this. And now you're like, all right.
So you're saying that once you had finally gotten to a point where you're like, I'll give it all up for you, Lord. He said, actually, I don't want you to go back, find a wife. This is something that you're called to.
Yep, exactly. And not to mention the song playing was, I give everything to you, Lord. And I was like,
come on. Hey, the older I get, I've said this before on the show multiple times in regards to vocations, right? The older I get, I've had two almost like juxtapositional feelings here about men who are going to the priesthood. When I was a young man, if you told me, right, when I looked at guys who entered the seminary, guys who went to the priesthood, I always thought, like, that's really good. I'm not there. I don't know how I could ever do it. I could never do that, right? Me, I could never do it. We're calling these guys to give up family and sex and all this stuff, right? I would never be able to do that, right? I never really discerned a vocation. I sort of had this reversion to the faith pretty hard later in life. Was dating my wife at the time. And I literally went on one little vocations retreat on a weekend after I'd already bought the ring to be like, just in case, Lord, you got to make it clear. I need that crucifix to, like, look down at me and say, join the seminary. But the older I get, the more I understand how men can do that. The more I look at that, I look at my life and my children, my wife, I'm so happy, I'm so fulfilled in my vocation. But I look at men who are priests and I think, no, I see the goodness. I see how you can live a really beautiful, fulfilling life doing that in a way that is different, but in no way less than what I'm doing, right? And every time I have another daughter and I see these great guys going to seminary who are way better, you know, way more spiritually mature than I am, I get increasingly like, God, okay, come on, leave some for the rest of us. Like, every great, awesome guy, why is he going over there? Yeah. It. So those are two conflicting feelings that I have right now.
For sure.
I used to be all about, like, yeah, go seminary, young man. We need you. And now I think, well, somebody's got to marry this one and this one and this one and this one. And so I need somebody to kicking around. Obviously, they're much too young for the guys going now.
Well, no, like, what you were saying about, like, how God just, like, kind of said, like, where you almost gave it up, and then he was like, okay, you can go. Well, that's the thing. Like, God just wants to know if you would. Like, if you were given the choice to sacrifice these things, he just wants to know that you would give it all up for him.
No, so God dropped this huge bar on me in that moment, too. Like, not bar, like, metal bar, like, fire. Fire line. But he basically looked at me, and I'm like, why? Like, I was so mad. I'm like, why did it take this long? And he looked down. Not really, but I envision him looking down and he's like, if you, like, how would you make a great dad if you couldn't give up what you wanted?
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, but because what I wanted was to become a dad.
That is a good bar.
How would you, and I'm just like, sitting there like, tears are just, I'm like, what in the world is going on?
Oh, that is so cool. I mean, it is true, right? As men in particular, right? We are all called to die to ourselves for the sake of another in one way or another.
Exactly.
Right? And it can be your wife and by extension your children, or it can be for Christ and his church. And I mean, frankly, I don't know if this is heretical. I don't think it is. But it's, I think, more noble in a lot of ways to go the priest route. I think that's a bigger ask on us. And once again, there was a time when I couldn't even imagine that. But I love what you said about it took months of seminary before you even realized this is something that I'm willing to do. I think a lot of young men need to hear that, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to say, yep, totally fine, totally on board with never getting married, never having a kid. In fact, I would argue that the vast majority of priests, they do have that longing and desire. My sister-in-law is a sister. She's in a convent up in Minnesota. And she says, no, I absolutely have that desire to be a mother. I just exercise it differently. But it is still something that, I mean, for years, it took her 7 years to do final vows, where she said that weighed on me, right? And that was okay. And eventually she said, you know what? I do. I give it all to you, Lord. It's tough.
Shout out my vocations director, Father Nate Kuhn. He would say that too. He's like, you're not going to be a good priest if you don't have that fatherly desire.
Oh, cool. Good.
And it's like, oh my gosh. He was such a great man. He was such a great, like, example too of, like, what, because we're like, oh, priest, you just work Saturday and Sunday and then you're just bored.
Eat bonbons and watch sitcoms.
He's all over the place. Like, he's got plenty of stuff to do.
That's beautiful.
And he doesn't even have a parish. It's just vocations.
So after the break, we're going to come back, and I want to get into some brass tack stuff. I got some things I want to hear Jake talk about, and it's going to be fantastic. So stick around, guys. We're going to be right back here in a minute. You're listening to Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped for our second segment.
Segment. I like segment. Yeah. And it's a great one. We've got some questions that we're going to ask.
Yeah, we do. We do from Father Michael Scanlon.
Father Michael Scanlon. He has a big role in the Catholic Church, especially here in America. What did he do?
He founded Franciscan University. What I think was at the time Steubenville College, University of Steubenville.
At the time, now it's
the cheat sheet over there. Founder of what? Steubenville College?
It doesn't say anything about 100% it. Oh, yeah, Steubenville College, yeah.
Yeah, which is my alma mater. I struggle with saying my alma mater because Southern Catholic was my loving mother. She was my alma mater. And then,
it's nurturing mother in Latin.
Nurturing, is it? Yeah. And I just finished up at Franciscan, so it...
Right.
I don't know. I want to give credit, but the diploma behind my that sits behind my desk, it does say Franciscan University.
We got 3/4 of our credits from Southern Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Because we both went to
Southern Catholic. I got more than 3/4. I finished. I only had one semester left. I think I had like 4 credits or something to get.
That's really frustrating. But hey, they were acceped at Steubenville, and thankfully, you got to graduate.
Yeah. I did a lot of online stuff over the summer, though.
Did you?
Like Darton College and all the little community college stuff, because I was trying to marry Angie.
Oh, you were trying to marry. Okay.
Selfishly,
you were much smarter than me. I decided to join the military and had to go down a deep darkness, which if you've seen the conversion story, you know.
We'll link it in the show notes. We'll link it. Then you'll take care of that. Thanks,
we'll take care of that.
All right, so I want to kind of hit the ground running here. We've only got a little less than half an hour to go. I want to go through these questions, right? These are questions from Father Michael Scanlon about what God wants. And it was kind of shoved to us right before we came on air. So I don't think any of us have kind of had a background in it, but I do want to dig into them and talk about them a little bit. So would somebody kick us off with the first of our 5 questions? I want literally us to just do like a vocational discernment, like deep dive into Jake's next steps in life based on these questions.
Does it conform to God's will / his laws?
All right, Jake, what are you going to do next in life?
Well, I'm just finishing out high school. By the time this airs on YouTube and stuff, I will probably be 2 weeks away from graduating.
Heck yeah. Okay.
So, obviously, I'm going to go on the mission trip in July. After that, in August, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go to Dalton State, which is in Chattanooga.
Sure.
It's a few minutes from Tennessee. I don't know which Catholic vocation I'm called to yet. I've definitely been trying to figure it out since I was way younger.
Sure.
Because I got a lot of the same thing you got, where like people were like, oh, you should be a priest. You'd be such a good priest. You're so thought-provoking in your faith and stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Because like originally I would always think like, I don't want to be a priest just because people want me to be a priest, just to spite them. Like, you know, but like...
Good spite is a really great way to...
But like, that's when I was younger, though. I mean, I don't think that way now. I have been leaning a little more towards marriage life, but of course I think a lot of guys are.
Sure.
But I have actually considered what my life would be like if I was a priest, because I think that's something that a lot of people should do, especially when they're trying to figure out what their vocation is.
Sure.
Visualize yourself in either of those time frames.
Yes.
Visualize yourself in both scenarios. Because, like, I would think of myself, like, if I have nothing to do at night, if I'm just not doing anything, I would just, like, think about, like, if I was a priest, how would I give a homily on this and this and this? Or, like, if I was a father, how would I teach my kids about this and this and this? You know?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
You want a bag? I just snagged it over here.
Yeah. Now, as to how does it conform to God's will,
I want to focus on one thing. I want to focus, like, Dalton State. Does going to Dalton State... I want to go through all these questions in regard to Dalton State.
Well, it's not a Catholic college.
Sure.
That's okay. That's president allowed. Of the college is Catholic.
I didn't know that. It's cool.
Yeah, and
is that Fuchko?
Yeah, Mr. Fuchko.
Yeah, I know him well.
Yeah,
he's a friend of the show.
Yeah, and one of his kids was my classmate.
Oh, no way. Are you an RCA graduate?
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you at RCA right now?
Yeah.
Well, you said you're homeschooled. That doesn't quite count. You're like mostly homeschooled. Oh, sick. Okay, I had no idea that you were a RCA guy. That's awesome. Big fans. We like Regina Shayla here on Honest to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those that don't know what RCIA is, Regina
RCIA. Like,
it's OCIA now, but no, that's not what you're talking about.
No, it's still Regina Shayla Academy. Yeah.
Anyways, where was I? I was talking about
Dalton State.
Yeah, Dalton State. Materialistically, or however you say that word, Dang it. It's just a college. Sure. It wouldn't really help me in my faith. It's really just something to help me keep going in life, as in what I want to do as a career secularly. But there is a church nearby. There's a lot of religious. I think there is a lot of religious opportunities there. I think they do have a seminary near there.
Cool.
Within the next 20 miles near there. I'm sure they have a lot of Catholic counselors there, because there is a pretty big church near there, Catholic church. I think it's St. Sebastian's.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm familiar with that corner of the state.
It's actually like the dead center of the top.
Yeah.
Like right next to Tennessee. I didn't really think about that. I didn't really think about how Dulce would affect my spiritual life, because, like, I don't want to sound presumptuous, but I do think that I am firm in my faith. Like, I'm pretty confident that I could hold out in college, and if it sure. And if it kind of wavers, I always have contacts down where I grew up. Like, I always have, like, my confirmation sponsor when I got confirmed is a priest.
Awesome.
And yeah. I have several friends who are priests. In fact, one of my teachers is a spiritual director, and my mom and dad are always there to help me. God yeah. bless them. I love them. And, like, I don't think Dalton really would affect it. If anything, it would be the people that I interact with.
Sure.
Because I think that's where a lot of people my age tend to falter in terms of vocation, is the people you surround yourself
Dude,
with.
Dude, it's 100%. That's 100%. What every single person ever in the history of the world who has fallen away from their faith or what, it's because of community, because we're either, it's hyper-individualist, like American rah-rah-rah. I'm not knocking American individualism, but at the end of the day, none of us are autonomous beings. We need God, first and foremost. We also need a community. You have to have those people.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
I think this question could actually be more applicable to, like, not the school in itself, but thinking about the groups that you start hanging out with. Like, think 100%. About, like, does it conform to God's will? Like, just the groups you hang out with. Because, yeah, the school in itself, that's kind of hard to, you know, put that question to that. Yeah. But it could definitely help whenever you're deciding who to hang out with, what to do on the weekends. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff. You meet a girl down there, like, that question will be very applicable there.
I was thinking about, do you guys know who Cliff Nechtel is?
Never heard of him.
Cliff Nechtel? Never mind that.
I like the name Cliff, though.
Yeah. He's this guy, he's on Spotify. He has this whole, like, thing on Spotify where he goes around to different campuses and colleges, and he'll sit there and he'll just preach, and if people have questions, he'll answer the questions, like, very well. And I listen to his podcast all the time because, like, I deliver pizzas now, so, like, I have a lot of time in the car to listen to on the radio. So, like,
yeah, I think I do know who that is.
Cliff Nechtel?
Yeah.
Is he a Catholic guy?
Yeah, he's Catholic.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, man, I could probably do that.
Right.
Because I could just go out into, like, a quad or something during college. And
street preacher.
Just street preach.
That's beautiful.
Get a box and a microphone.
It is funny to me that, I guess it's unfortunate, rather, that the vast majority of street preachers that I've seen in my life have been, like, clinically insane individuals saying pretty horrendous things.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer, though. I like street preaching. We need more St. Paul's out there proclaiming the word, like, in a way that's not insane. Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, that should be
there is a lot of you don't want to go off the rails of street preaching, because I did see this one guy on the side of the road, and I was delivering one pizza, and he had he was right next to his car, and he had a sign. It's like, Jesus the Savior of America, and it had, like, a cross with Trump right next to it. Sorry, it's not Jesus, right. It's Trump. It's Trump the Savior of America.
Yeah,
and it's like
that.
Jesus
That's
with
bad.
Trump on the sign. Like, I think you're confusing two different things.
Yeah. Oh boy.
We have a lot of Athens listeners, and anybody who's been downtown Athens on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, there are a lot of street preachers who are yelling at the students who are just downtown having a good time, telling them that they're all going to go to hell. I've heard that you guys are daughters of Baal. I've heard some really nasty stuff. And
not that is not evangelization. Win people over, guys. Yeah.
Right. Definitely not.
And I've even called them out, said, hey, sir, I think you might be throwing stones. I don't think this
hey,
is the
really,
way to
John
do it.
And Doctor?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And they'll look at me going, where do you go to church? I'm like, I don't think you're going to like it. And yeah. I tell them I'm Catholic. And then they're like, oh, okay. Well,
you're going to hell, too.
You're going to hell, too. You're right there. I'll lead the charge.
I mean, there was a time in my life when I probably it would have been apt, it would have been correct to yell at me that I was a son of Baal or a pagan or a horrible whatever, because I kind of was.
Right.
That being said, that guy doing it
would have
100% entrenched me further
exactly.
into that and said, well, if that jerk is on Jesus' side, I want to be as far away from that as I possibly yep. can. So all right, let's keep going down the list. Yeah,
yeah okay.
Dalton let's see. State, what's the next question?
Is it consistent with how God has guided us in the past? Sure. Because, yeah. like, in the Bible, God has definitely sent his... professors and his followers into secular places where there definitely have not been any followers of God there, but he definitely sends them to preach and such, you know?
Well, we're not called to be Amish.
We're not called
to just hide and put up circle the wagons and say outside world bad. We're totally called to go out and do it. I would say at a certain age, right? By the time you're your age, sure. Mm-hmm. Don't do that with your 11-year-old. But
yeah, what my pastor, I go to St. Monica's Catholic Church.
Oh, big shout out.
Big shout out. I love Father Jack. He's actually my confirmation sponsor.
He is the man.
Uh-huh. And my favorite homilies by him is the ones where he's like, be crazy. Go out into the world. Say, Jesus is Lord.
He's really good.
And like, I'm like, man, that really wants me to go do that.
Yeah.
It's like, he constantly says in every single one of his homilies, I don't think he ever misses in this. He always says, go out, say Jesus is Lord. Yes. Gather followers and bring them here.
Heck yeah.
Because God will take them in.
Right, 100%.
Yeah. It's like, be fishers of men.
Yeah.
And I'm an altar server. I'm up there and I'm witnessing firsthand what's going on when he's on that pulpit. Mm. And like, I'm sorry, this is a little rant. I'm going off subject. But like, when I'm an altar server and I see him up there, he's like coming off the ground when he's on the pulpit. That's like, he's like hopping up
and
down.
I've said this 100 times before on the show. My liturgical preference is Black Southern Baptist Church. Right now, I recognize I can't go to a Black Baptist church in South Georgia because the fullness of truth is found in the Catholic faith. But the closer I can get to that with a priest's
that's
preacher,
what I always say with Father Jack. Mm-hmm. It's like Father Jack has the energy of a Protestant preacher, but the profoundness of a Catholic bishop.
Yes.
That's so cool.
I want to rein it in just a little bit. We have Jesse on the Jake. You are doing awesome. The Holy Spirit clearly led you here. But these first two questions, I would do want to hear a little bit from Jesse's perspective,
yeah.
if we can. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, vocational wise, it's very hard. Like to use the first question, like, does it conform to God's will and His laws? Marriage and priesthood; those are two very good things, and that's why I like the difference between like thinking about a choice. Like good versus bad or right versus wrong. Vocation is like good versus good.
Right.
Like discernment is good versus good, and that's why it can be kind of hard sometimes. Like big V vocation wise. Obviously, if like when you're thinking about little things or like a relationship wise, mm-hmm. being like, should I date this girl? Well, she's Protestant, this. It's like, okay. Probably not.
Right.
Like with that question. As for vocation wise, it's a little hard to apply that question. Kind of like a school. Like you'd be kind of like, well, that's kind of hard. It's more about what groups you hang out with. For the second one, is it consistent with how God has guided us in the past? No, because in the way that I was being called to priesthood, seminary, now it's like now married life / now I'm on like a dating fast for my first year as a missionary.
Oh, is that a requirement for first year?
Yes,
missionaries?
It is.
That
and it's sense. Actually so great. Yeah. Like it's been so fruitful and so much easier than I thought it would be because discerning out of seminary, feeling called to married life, I was like, oh boy.
In my experience, the best way to find a wife is to go to seminary and then leave. I see so many guys who leave seminary, and I swear they like see a girl on the park bench out front, like, "What's up? What are you doing the rest of your life? Would you like to be loved and honored forever? Can I die myself for you?" I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I swear the number of like 1 year later they're engaged that I see is
no, I believe it. Most of my buddies are just turned out to are in relationships right now, but this year on mission to especially just being out of seminary
makes total sense.
Being able to be a missionary, it's so good. But yeah, I would say it's definitely like consistent, like not in the way that he's calling me, like seminary from, but it's consistent with how, like how he's calling me. And that's why it's been so quickly to like discern, yes, I'm going to be a missionary. Like I was a seminarian when I went to camp and decided I'm going to be a full-time missionary because of how he does it. It's what the tactics he uses, the voice he uses, how he talks is the same. Versus what he's asking is different, but how he talks.
How does he talk?
Just through prayer, honestly, Eucharistic adoration, which we have the privilege of doing every morning.
Every single person, every time we've ever had anybody on this show and we talk about real, like, big revelations to them about God and what he wants in their life, it has always been adoration.
Dude,
every
single time,
go to adoration, everybody, whatever you're, whoever you are, whoever's listening, I don't care if you're not Catholic, go to adoration and talk
to Jesus.
Highly
recommend. And I would, like, I go every morning as a missionary. It's pretty awesome. Eucharistic adoration Tuesday through Friday, every single morning, and then just a holy hour every day.
That's
like Eucharistic adoration, an hour, and it's so great. And even like people will come like and be like, "Oh, I didn't feel anything, nothing. I didn't get a super good revelation." I love analogies. I always say Eucharistic adoration is like spiritual tanning.
I like that. Okay,
it's making you a better person, no matter if you're feeling anything.
Does
or having
tanning
a
make you a better person?
No,
spiritual
tanning. Oh, spiritual tanning your soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the question, but the ways he's been calling me to change vocation, small v's, missionary, whatnot, has been the same, and just in adoration. And then I will like discern. Discernment also isn't just sitting in a room and praying and not doing anything. It's acting. I always like to think of the analogy of like walking on ice, right? You're not just going to step down. Sometimes you need to like take a little like slide your foot across and be like, okay, all right, my foot's staying there, and then move your other foot and be like, okay. Discernment is also taking action. So I didn't want to do a second year on mission when I originally heard about it, but I'm like, I can't just say no. So to discern, I'm going to do my interview. And through the interview, I felt a lot of peace, and then praying about it, God was just really affirming me in that. And I'm like, okay. All right. And then I prayed about it, and it was so funny because I'm sitting with my roommate and I'm like, I really don't want to call Sarah and tell her that I'm doing another year, but I'm going to. I just don't want to.
To clarify, so, Father Mike Schmidt, he says that if you're in prayer, right, especially if you're before Christ in the Eucharist in adoration, and you want to know if what you're hearing is really from God, think to yourself, is this something that God would say? And if the answer is yes, it probably is. Just go with it. Even if it's not God, maybe it's your well-formed conscience saying, I need to go in this direction. I need to do X, Y, Z. Hit us with number three.
Exactly.
All right. Does it encourage conversion? Me first or him?
I'll go first. Yeah, you can.
Okay. So, like I said before, this isn't a Catholic college. I don't think they're going to try to do anything to convert you. But once again, it entirely depends on who you surround yourself with and who you talk to and who you interact with, right? Like I said before, I'm pretty firm in my faith, but if I ever wavered, I would always turn to the people that I love most.
100%.
Always. Yeah. But sometimes, especially people my age, they may not have people who are Catholic in their life. They may not have anyone who really loves them. They may not have anybody at home who, like, would understand.
Sure.
To them, I encourage, go look before it's too late, you know? Send up a flare before your ship goes down.
But
you know?
You being openly Catholic, this works with anyone, right? You being openly Catholic, I always say, right, if you're If you're joyful and honest in your faith, you are the biggest evangelization machine, and you don't even realize it. You have no idea, right? If you are just a person who's in a good mood and nice, even when you have to fake it, right? You're kind to people. You're a good, virtuous person, right? And if people ask you, what did you do this weekend? And you say, oh, I went to Mass, and I had a really good confession. Boom. Congratulations. You just did more to evangelize than most people do in their entire lifetimes in like 5 seconds. Like, be honest about your faith and how much you love Jesus, but mostly be happy and answer questions when they come, right? God, you're not converting anybody. No human being has ever converted a single soul ever in the history of the world, right? Except for Jesus. He was God. But he was also a person. I don't want to be a heretic. No, it's all the Holy Spirit, dude. It's all God doing it. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So as a missionary, definitely encourages conversion, just in the vocation itself. But also, like, St. Therese has beautiful quotes about missionaries, and I'm always thinking, like, a big discernment point for doing a second year is I'm like, my family, like, financially, spiritually could use me there. Like, I've had 2 years of formation now, seminary in this year, and it's just like, yeah, they could really use me. But St. Therese always says too, she's like, I pray for the people on mission. Mm-hmm. And when she wanted to go on the mission so bad, but she prayed for the people who were doing the missions. And it helped them succeed. So I'm thinking about encouraging conversion with my family by being here, being a missionary, especially with some, like, my parents are Catholic, but, like, teenage siblings and younger siblings getting older, you know how that goes, I'm sure. So
You call your siblings regularly?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, try to. Sometimes they don't answer, but
That's great. Yeah, I promise they
will. They get angry voicemails from me sometimes.
Yeah, so. But they'll remember in 10 years, 15 years, even if they end up straying in some way.
Exactly.
Man, Jesse was there. He was there. He was calling me. That's another one of those fake it till you make it things. I have so many people that I call out of obligation, like, all the time. You know, like, relatives and things like that. That I like don't not super jazzed about calling, so I won't say any names in case they ever hear this, right? But I'm gonna do it because that's really good, and I ought to do that. I ought to tell them, like, love you, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
What's number four?
Yeah.
What confirms it? What does that mean? I don't speak poetry.
What confirms it? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What
confirms it? I would say kind of like, I can answer, and then maybe this will give you a definition. But I'd say kind of like what I was saying, taking action. And making sure you're, like, taking those little steps first and being like, okay, there's peace here. Oh, there's doubt and fear here. Probably not. Okay, there's peace here. Like, just taking little steps, doing it a few times. So when you're, like, obviously, yeah, seminary, missionary, second year. Like, what confirms it? I know how he talks. I can now recognize it. And it's the same way every single time.
Dude, it's such a muscle. It's something you have to work out, right? It's something that you're going to, as someone who said 100 times on this show, I'm really bad at prayer. I'm so bad at prayer, right? But I'm getting better after years and years of being really bad at prayer. I'm less bad now than I was 10 years ago. I'm less bad now than I was 5 years ago. And I see that slow Now I'm at a stage, this is the coolest thing in the world, where I do my little 10-minute prayer routine every single day, where I read the scripture readings. And I'll just that little, just me and Jesus time. And I used to, like, it was such a grind. And now I don't look forward to it yet. But as soon as I start, I'm like, oh, this is so good. I'm so glad I'm doing this. Let me do this a little longer. What the 10 minutes is going to become 15, is going to become 20, because I really, really
enjoy
it.
That's the hardest part, is getting off your butt and doing it.
My next level where I want to be is, I can't wait. I got to really make sure that I'm going over and doing this right now. I'm looking forward to that. So it'll come. Jesus Christ has been along. We've been walking together for a long time.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, I'd say what confirms it is just acting on it and seeing, because, like, God will never put doubts or fears into your mind. Yeah. He'll always put encouraging words and always,
I love the ice analogy so much.
Yeah.
This feels good. Really, this feels right.
Yeah. And then, like, you could, like, you step down, it's like, probably shouldn't go over there. But yeah, like, God will never speak in, like, a way like, wow, that was stupid.
Yeah.
He'll never say that to you. Right. So that's what confirms it for me, is I'm like, God wouldn't say that to me.
Right.
That's huge. So, like, whenever I'm, like, telling myself, like, hey, that was stupid, right? The enemy's like, yeah, told you shouldn't have done that, whatever, and all this stuff. And it's like, what confirms it? Like, good job. Or you messed up, but it's okay. That's what confirms
it. Or a feeling of peace and contentedness, right? We lose sight of so many things, I think, because we conflate happiness with contentedness, or happiness with joy, right? Fleeting happiness.
Father Jacques Philippe.
You know what makes you super happy? Cocaine. Cocaine can make you really, really happy. You know what does not bring any joy and contentedness to your life? Cocaine. Right? Fleeting happiness is not what we should be chasing. We got to stop lying to ourselves and saying that it's that these things that make us feel happy in a carnal way or a real quick kind of adrenaline, whatever, dopamine rush kind of way. No, that's gross. Contentedness and joy is found in Christ and doing what Christ wants us to do. Last question. We only got like 2 minutes.
Very quickly. Do I have conviction about it? Personally, I mean, everybody has doubts about what they're going to do in life.
Sure.
Like, is it ever going to work out? Will it be too expensive for me? Will it affect other people in my life other than myself? But then again, just pray about it, meditate, adoration, obviously. If you feel off about something, if something doesn't seem right, pray about it. And, like, sometimes it, like, God speaks to people in different ways. Like, sometimes you'll hear a voice, or sometimes it'll be just subtle signs, like, throughout, like, what'll happen or what people say.
I feel like this whole episode we could have just made a lot easier, about 10 seconds long. And if it's entitled "What Does God Want?", the answer could just be "Go to adoration and find out."
Yeah.
Just spend eternity with you because he loves you.
Yeah.
All right, we got about 90 seconds left. Any closing thoughts, Jesse, in particular?
Yeah, I just have to say. Yeah, I just have to say the last question too. Do I have conviction about it? I have to ask myself that every morning, because it's like you need to remind yourself every single morning. Do I have conviction? This is with anything. You're laying there next to your wife in bed, waking up, and you're like, do I have conviction about this? Like, you have to remind yourself every single morning. You wake up as a priest, autonomously daily mass, do I have conviction about this? Like, because if you don't, pray about that, through that. Because there will be days that you don't.
Well, so much of it is, so much of virtue is moving the will, right? And going back, once again, to the cocaine analogy, right? So much of it is realizing that you are not your feelings, right?
Exactly.
And we all feel ways we shouldn't feel all the time.
Feel a certain way, you're going to act rationally. Yeah. That's not going
to be. No, dude, rightly form that conscience, bring it to Jesus over and over and over again. And when you don't feel like doing something you ought, get over it. Like, I don't mean to be like dismissive of it, but really, get over it.
Seriously.
Be the man you're supposed to be. I would love to, but we are done.
Tiny thought.
You got like 5 seconds.
Okay. So, like, the thing is, with people, if something bad happens, God always has a separate plan.
Yeah, opening doors, closing windows, or whatever. Yeah. Closing doors, opening windows. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Thanks for being here, guys. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults, by young adults, on AM 1160, The Quest.